Now, last week we shared about how Jesus sent the disciples out and he gave them authority and they took it. Man, God loves it when we take our authority. And they healed people, they canceled out demonic work, and they came back and they were rejoicing. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And Jesus said, he rejoiced, but he said, nevertheless, don't rejoice that you just have authority, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so he's trying to coach us here about how to keep our focus on the right thing, because it's all about him, isn't it? Not about us. So I'm going to have some people share just about, because, you know, we committed when we started Believers Fellowship that we wouldn't play church. And that's a hard term to define, you know, but we just had it in our hearts that we wouldn't just come and do the routine thing all the time. And it's really easy just, you know, to get in that routine. But, and not that that's wrong, because part of your life has to be a routine of constantly renewing your mind. And constantly reminding yourself and stirring yourself up. At the same time, we've just always committed just to be real people. We weren't trying to build a church. I think you all know that at any time I told the Lord, when you're done with it, I'm done with it. I might be done with it before you're done with it, but I'll stay here until you tell me. You know, and it's... But it's a real deal, and it's real people. It's not just a... Jesus, you know, talks about the shepherd who left the 99, you know, but he left them in safe place. You know, he took care of them, but then he went and found the lost, and that's a great thing. But we got to always remember that, we're one of those lost that he found. Now we're in the flock. And he loves us. Wants the best for us all the time. But he told us, you're going to go through stuff. And how important joy is. So I'll try not to talk anymore. So I'm going to bring Barb up first, just to prime the pump. Give her a hand. Glory to God. She made me laugh today. I looked out the window and saw a 1944 shining out there, and this little woman figured out how to find reverse. But, you know, going just through losing your husband, as a lot of you know, is a big challenge in life.
It is.
And so what do you do to keep your joy and walk in that joy?
Well, the first thing I do is I never gave up my faith, because I knew Jesus was walking with me every day. He is my helper. And I decided that I wasn't going to continue. Well, I do mourn, but not like I did before, because I have joy in my heart for all of you that helped me so much through this tragic thing that happened. And I have joy in my heart for being able to continue with my life as it is. I have joy in my life that God gives me faith. I have joy in my life that he gives me goodness. He takes care of me in every single way in my heart. And I have joy in my life that I drove that 1944 to church today. It was more than 3 seconds. Thank you.
You're done. Good. Thank you. Is it a 40 or 44?
40.
40. Okay. All right. All right. Keith Brink texted me this morning. A really good text, just saying he's been fighting cancer. He's winning. Got another treatment coming up. Wants to give God all the glory, not the treatments, but he said it's... he said, someday I'd like to share my testimony of appreciating all your love and faith. And and coming through. So I thought I'd just throw that in. That's a good news report. I'm going to ask my sister Kay to come. This is the woman you've been praying for. beat cancer. And gosh, we've been fighting the devil for a lot of years, haven't we? And once in a while we fight each other, trying to figure out how to fight the devil. But mostly it's just been a really rich time, and her faithfulness, but more importantly, God's faithfulness. As we sing that song, the evidence is all around. Man, we've got volumes of books that could be written. Amen. So go ahead and just love on the people.
It's still pretty fresh. So last March, the end of March, on a Sunday, I got a call from my school superintendent saying I'd been given a really awesome honor. On Monday, I turned 67, and on Tuesday, I had a test that told me I had cancer, colon cancer. So my emotions were like this. And nobody ever wants to hear that word. And but I can say that my husband Neil and I, we just instantly went to the Lord, and of course I turned to the family and we prayed, and I just felt God's grace in an unbelievable way in His peace. When we grew up out by Vail, we had neighbors called, they were the Follets, and one of their kids, his name is Todd, was my sister's class, and we rode the bus together, and he was very ADHD, and my dad was his Sunday school teacher, and he used to, of course, we didn't understand ADHD back then, but he'd crawl under the tables, and he would be crazy, and Dad would just say, "Did you hear anything I said?" And he would quote him exactly what my dad had said. Brilliant guy. Lost his wife to colon cancer several years ago. And so, lo and behold, Todd is my pastor now, back down in Kansas. Who would ever thought that would come around like that? And he immediately called his son, who was a trauma surgeon at KU Med Center there in Kansas City. And, of course, he, you know, it was his mom. And he immediately thought of, well, it was actually a surgeon that had taught him, but his specialty is, you know, colon cancer kind of stuff. And so he told his dad, I'm going to talk to, his name is John Ashcraft, and he said, I'm going to talk to him. And lo and behold, he hadn't seen him for weeks. And who did he run into in the hallway in the hospital that day? Dr. Ashcraft. And he told him about me, and he said, tell me your name, and when I see your name come across my desk, I'll make sure I get her in. This was like a week after I was diagnosed. That doesn't happen very often. But I don't think it ever happens. And we met with this man, and his first thing he did was he stuck his hand out to us. He said, "Hi, I'm John." And we just immediately felt like he was the man. And for those of you that have gone through this, it was the first time, you know, for me, it's a very scary thing to have doctors sit across, you know, from you and just say the scary stuff. But I can honestly say that, boy, we had grace on us and a peace. And I had so many people reach out and say they were praying. So whenever you feel like you are led to pray for someone, I just would encourage you to just let them know that you are. There's just a strength that comes from knowing that there's people bringing you before the throne of grace. So they were able to schedule surgery for me for May 20th. And what often happens in my life when I've had crises is I call John. He's not just my brother, he's been a pastor to me. And he told me once, he said, I saw a vision that Jesus reached in to my stomach and just pulled the cancer out. And on May 20th, when I went into surgery, it's exactly what the surgeon did. And I had surgery on Wednesday, and I got to go home on Friday. Or was it Saturday? Anyway, I'm just amazed at how I'm thankful that God works through medicine. I'm thankful that God works through the new technology that they're discovering. So we went back after the surgery, after all the pathology tests, and met with the surgeon and the pathologist, and both of them said, they just had smiles on their faces, and they said, we got it all. They said, you're low risk now, you don't have to come back, you don't have to have treatments. We would like you to be in a study, and so I am. It's a research hospital, so I am in a study, which is kind of fun. But just to see the hand of God just work so quickly, and I had six doctors tell me that if I would have waited just even a few months, we would be having a different conversation. So I just am so grateful. God's grace, boy, you just can't beat it. His peace, and there was another situation when I was in the hospital that my kid's grandpa was basically dying. And so I have two kids in California, and they came for my surgery. And because of them being at my surgery, they were able to have just a really precious time with their grandpa and say goodbye. And he died on Saturday. So it was like God had a greater purpose in all this, and I could tell you more about things that have happened within our family, just the healing that's taken place in the last few weeks. There was a greater purpose. And just want to thank you for praying, but I want to give God the glory and give God the praise, because it's been a ride. And my faith is deeper than ever, and I have a peace, and God's grace is good.
On a lighter note, no. Praise God. Boy, those challenges are there, but joy is also needed just in everyday life. So somebody else. Come on up, Chris. This lady's been such a blessing. I tell you, this body, and she's just awesome in every way.
Thank you. Okay, so when it comes to joy, I guess every day, my warm coffee in the morning, my warm shower, grandkids riding their bicycle across the road in front of my house, just everything since Jesus came in my life, I feel more joy. I feel. Every time I see something, I feel him. And I have a story. I lost my stepbrother in March due to a surgical technicality. It was unexpected. He was 58. And we had a celebration of life in Kansas City for him last week. And it was in a barn out kind of in the boonies, but it was beautiful. And doors on both sides. And as the sun went down, I was standing out by the back door watching over the green grass, and I saw fireflies. I haven't seen fireflies. It was just fascinating to me, and the sun was coming down behind it. It was and I felt God there more. You know, he was, it was, if you just notice those little things, and to me that wasn't a little thing, a firefly, I don't see them very often, but I felt it so deeply, and I just was mesmerized by it. And so it's those little things, the little things. And it's because of Jesus in my heart that I noticed those. I know that for sure. So.
Amen. Somebody else. I see you moving, Liam. Liam.
Yeah.
I would like to imitate Christ when he lives in this world, and he even declare that in John chapter 16, that in this world you will have tribulations. But he reminded us with his prayer in John chapter 17, the whole chapter, that he prayed for us. That even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. And he said to the Father that, I'm not praying that you take them out of this world right now, but for you to keep them while they are in this world. For where I am going, there they will be also. Where he is now, that's where we are going. So all of us, there is no exemption. While we are in this world, we are all facing different challenges in life. That sometimes, when we encounter it, it's like it doesn't make sense for us to go through it. But I believe is that God has a purpose why he let things happen to us, for us to be more closer to him and imitate Christ, as he always say, you know, when he was tempted. I know you know this story. When he was tempted by the devil, he always used this term. It is written. It is written. So this past week, I'm encountering something that I did not expect that this would come to me. And as soon as I got that news to me, I opened my Bible and see what the Holy Spirit will give me, and those words of encouragement that would keep me going, keep me become strong, keep me to keep the joy in my heart, and that I know that I am serving the big God, that I know whom I have believed. He knows what I'm going through. He knows my future. So I would like to just encourage you with all the verse that God gave me. I hope this will encourage you too, for all his promises. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, it says like this, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Genesis 48:16. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my cause, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That is, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. God is just waiting for us to request. God is always ready to grant our requests. In the news, Paul says also in one of the passages, he says, let your requests be made known unto God. I assure you, God will grant our requests. Psalm 19:13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Luke 11:4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from evil, from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
It is written. Another awesome lady. We are just full of them.
Well, Enrico's verses there, your wishes will be granted. I have wished since I was a little kid to live in the Black Hills. And I dragged Chris back here in 1976. I thought it would be my last time because he'd never been out of the state of California. And he fell in love with the people and the place. And we prayed. And it took many years, but God finally granted our request. And that we can't be more thankful. And every morning we wake up and we praise God. We look at our views. We are so thankful to be here and among you. And God led us here. I've shared before that, you know, the Believer's Fellowship sign, it's now blown away and gone out here. We had been here, I don't know, 9 months or something and hadn't gone to church. We listened to a few online. And finally one Sunday, Chris says, we need to go to church. And I said, hey, I just saw this sign. I don't know where it is for sure, but I saw the sign. And that's what brought us here to Believers Fellowship. And again, we praise God for this church family and all you have done for us.
And we give God thanks for you. How is it? Gratitude and patience, gracious, whatever. Took a lot of years to get here, but man, everything, so grateful. Felt like I've known you guys for all my life and abused you like my best friends and somebody else. You all look like you're out there in the auction where you don't want to rub your nose because somebody will say, yes! You now own this incredible piece of junk. Come on. And we all love Sarah.
Well, I don't like being up here very much, but so you all see me come in with the kids every Sunday or when I'm here, and it's chaos. It's a lot of work. But when I was in my mid-20s, I was told it was a slim to none chance I'd ever have kids. And so we went into our marriage thinking that would never happen, and we became okay with that. And now here we are. But don't, with the struggles and the trials, you have the ability to overcome them. And with those gains, you actually get, and the trials, you know, with them, you receive joy. So just try not to lose perspective when you're in the fight, because there's always a win. And it's easy to lose sight of it. And the miracles that happen every day are often discredited as just coincidences and just natural occurrences, but also don't discredit the miracles that go on. So.
And you are one awesome miracle. Incredible miracles. Hope. The God that gives hope. Somebody else. Yes, come on up. This is, if you don't know, this is Natalie's mom.
Which brings me a lot of joy. I really didn't want to come up here either, but I thought after I heard someone else's bravery. Mine's very simplistic, and it kind of goes off of what Chris was talking about, and that's in the morning after prayers, I just make myself pause and think of everything I'm grateful for and the gratitude. And there's always things. In fact, there's way more than I'm sure I even recognize. And that just reframes your entire day. So just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. I was sharing with Danny McCarty, a missionary that's been here, and we've gone through a lot of things together, scary things. Man, just miracles. I got kind of fed up with him always taking pictures. And we were in Vietnam at this little restaurant, and I had a calm moment there, and it was awesome. And he pulled out his camera, and I said, you take a picture, I'm going to cram it down your throat. So there's a reality of, you know, not always having joy expressed, but I remember once he said, you know, we were on the phone and we were talking about something, and he says, you know, a wise man once told me, he said, you can get through anything if you stay grateful. I said, man, that's powerful. He said, well, you're the one that told it to me. And I go, thanks for repeating it. But it's true. Gratefulness will bring joy. And as you've shared, there's always, if you stop and take a breath and look around, there's so many things to be grateful for. But above all, I always go down, every time I go through my list, I finally go to the bottom line. My name is written down in heaven, and I will live with him forever. And this is a vapor down here. And no matter how horrible it gets, you know, I was just kind of studying a little bit more on Paul. And I got to wondering, well, how old was Paul when he died? Well, it's a guess, but he's late 50s, early 60s probably. And I said, man, I'm grateful I outlived him. You know, and we don't know, but everybody believes that he was beheaded. Being a Roman citizen, they didn't crucify him. If there's a good way to go, I'd say beheading would be a good way to go. I know some of you are going, wah! It's like, I'd pick that. And I was just talking to the Lord about him, and I thought, you know, he the Lord has instructed me. He said, I didn't call you to be a martyr. Don't let it happen. Now, that would blow a lot of people's theology. But it's like, he has given us the authority to resist the devil. If we don't resist the devil, he's not resisted. If we don't speak to the principalities and powers that are our true enemy and bring them down, they do not fall from the sky like Jesus was saying. And isn't it wonderful that even though great men and women of God, I'm going to put it out this way, may have failed in something because they lacked knowledge and lacked obedience, probably more knowledge than obedience. And so maybe their life was taken short. But again, in the light of eternity, it's just a vapor down here. And I noticed something in Scripture the other day that I hadn't really noticed before. When Judas came to Jesus to betray him, and of course, Judas had a plan that it was going to be okay. I think Judas really thought Jesus would rise up and finally become the king. He was looking for a king for this temporal world, and Jesus said, my kingdom is not in this world. Jesus was established as king, was the king of the kingdom of God. But anyway, the whole point was when Judas came, Jesus said, friend. He called him friend. Not just an acquaintance, he called him a friend, a partner. And said, do what you got to do. Get it done. And I think, you know, how there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Never forget that. I'm coming back now to say, for me personally, because I told God when I was 19, 20, 21, I said, if you want me to, you know, anybody remember Dave Wilkerson and all his end time stuff? And I thought for sure, you know, that I'd have to be a volunteer to be a martyr. And I said, oh, may it be something besides a knife or an arrow. Make it a 270. But anyway, it's just funny things you think about. But through the years, Lord has said, I didn't ask you to be a martyr. Don't let it happen. It's important for us to hear from God and then step into that authority. Take this, it is written. And you say, well, what if you're wrong, John? Big deal. My name's written down. What if you die in a car wreck? Well, I don't drive my car without telling the deer, not me. I won't hit you. You don't hit me. You say, well, you think you can actually do that? I don't know. Listen, the Bible says, believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. We speak the name of Jesus. We speak what we believe in our heart. We got, you know, it's all from Genesis all the way through, we're instructed to speak with authority. But if we don't, he's not going to say, you're not my friend anymore. I don't love you anymore. But he does get pleased, amen, when we walk in faith. Faith pleases God. And I know we're not, there's so much, I know that I'm not, I don't know it all. So I know there's sometimes we suffer. We all suffer. Think about that. We all suffer because of lack of knowledge. That's why we keep seeking. That's why we come together. That's why we share with each other. That's why we send scriptures to each other, because with that knowledge, we can win. And ultimately, we've already won. But joy is a big one. And I have to, when I first started pastoring in my early years, I remember just people, I was from listening to others, and I know my own heart, I was a happy camper. I mean, I had to fight the good fight of faith, but man, I was a dreamer. I had high hopes, and I know my dad expressed to Kay once that, what if John's dreams don't come to pass? Is he going to totally give up his faith in Jesus? That's a legitimate question. Because there are some people who start believe in God, and they're praying for something, and it doesn't happen, and they just say, well, forget that. I'm done with that. Man, that I don't know, but I just knew that wasn't going to happen to John. I knew my hope in him for eternity was not going to be canceled by something, little problem down here, no matter what it was. I set my heart on that. And so far, so good. Still faithful, still believing him. But the cares of this world can lay upon you, and they do affect you. And you're not going to get away from that. And for me, I get to share with a lot of people, weep with those who weep. I weep a lot with people that are weeping. But I get to also rejoice with those who rejoice. But I'm constantly learning from the Holy Spirit on how to cast my cares on the Lord. And I can say that I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. I'm not in first grade. I don't know where I'm at, but I have, and all of you, I know we're progressing. We're growing in grace and the knowledge of God. Beautiful thing is there's no end to it. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. But don't look at joy as just an added little benefit. Like, be happy. And think lightly of it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul wrote that to the Philippians in Philippi. Filipino always comes in on me on that one. And he was in prison. And I was just talking to the Lord. I said, you know, could Paul maybe avoided that beheading? And he said, that's not for you to know. But he said, understand this. Paul was whipped. 39 lashes. That's enough to put you to death. How many times? A lot. Oh, now you got me questioning. I think it 5 or 6 times. I see an Iranian woman is going to be whipped 79 times because she sang without a covering on her head. My friend in Texas right now, she was an Iranian woman. Her dad used to tie her to the bed and whip her back. And when he got tired, he'd have the mom come in and whip her. And then she went to a country and sang and karaoke, and they found out. And when she came back, she was sentenced to death by whipping. And the lady that was supposed to whip her took mercy on her, faked it, because there's men can't be there when they're whipping a woman, but put on many coats and then whipped her, and they faked the screams, and she's able to slip, and she's in America today. So this is, I'm trying to tell you, this is real still today, but people go through. But think about Paul. He sang, he had joy. He was, I think, whipped 6 times. Somebody could look it up. It takes an awful lot of miraculous healing for you to recover from that. He was beaten with rods 3 times. That's when they hang you upside down and they take a steel rod and break every bone in your foot. In your feet. Do you know how many bones you got in your feet? 26? Thank you. And they're all kind of important, aren't they? And you break them all at once, your odds of healing? Nothing. 0. You never walk again. 3 times that was done to him. and he walked. He left this world strong. Along with everything, the lions that he had to fight, it says, all that. Then stoned. He might have been dead. They left him for dead. So when you think about your troubles, think about Paul and his faith, not just to write half the New Testament, thank God, but he did it with joy. And he constantly told us, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's not just, what was that little smiley thing? Oh, what was the song? Be happy. I don't know. I didn't like it from the standpoint it made it cheesy to me, but it's same time, it's a good word. Be happy. You got a lot of reasons to. But realize it's worth the fight. And mostly the way we fight is by the word. It is written. It is written. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will never die. I'll be with him forever. I'll rule and reign with Christ forever. I'm blessed. I have angels serving me. My words bring forth life, and they can bring forth death. So I will watch what I say, and I will speak life all the time and believe. And I'll weep with those who weep. But I'll rejoice with those who rejoice. But I'm not backing off. And I'm not laying down. And I'm putting a bridle on my tongue of talking about being weary, being wore out, and being burned out. I'm renewed day by day. And all of this shared, man, those little things, coffee in the morning, watching the bluebirds, watching my grapes grow. I just love to look out on my deck and see these grapes just getting bigger and bigger. Gives me hope. I'm eating zucchini. Gives me hope. What you plant, you'll reap. Father, we thank you for joy. Would you stand with me, please? We stand before your throne now, Father, as a body of believers. And we just express our gratitude. Praise God. Let's all just say things out loud now. If we all do it one time, it's not chaos. It's just all of us. Just start saying thank you. Together. Let's just, Paul said this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always for, and again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing or your gentle spirit be made known to all. The Lord is near. Be not anxious, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. When your mind is rolling in the repeats of fear and discouragement, the only way you can get that video out is put in a new video of thanksgiving. And with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to God. And think on these things, that way it was honorable and pure. Oh, now let's just say it all out loud, okay? Father, we just thank you. We worship you. We adore you. I thank you for this body. I thank you for life. Glory to God. Come on, let me hear your voice. Come on, God. We thank you, Jesus. Together, we just want to lift up thanksgivings to you for all your goodness and all your kindness and for the babies in this church. Hallelujah. The little ones getting started. For Sela Camp and for all the kids that are going to hear the Word of God, and that seed is going to go in and it's going to produce a mighty harvest of righteousness. Glory to God. And for all the miracles. And we declare that no evil befalls us. No plague comes near our tent. For you've given your angels charge concerning us. And with long life, you will save. gratify us. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We're so grateful for the past miracles. That we're so grateful, Sarah's got four kids. It's just crazy and all get out, but that was never supposed to happen. You bless the womb. You bless our life. You bless our comings and our goings. You bless us as we go. And we, in turn, bless the world. You love the world. We declare our love for the world. And we thank you, Lord, that we have that love in our hearts. It's been shed abroad. We're not bitter. We're not resentful. We're not fearful anymore. We are the children of God. And we declare victory in the name of Jesus. And we call down the principalities and powers that are trying to do strategies to blind people's eyes and not let them hear the gospel. We call them down and we resist them in the name of Jesus. We speak forth the power of God, that the kingdom of God is increasing day by day, moment by moment. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you for each other, because God, we are head over heels in love with each other. This is our family forever and ever, and we are grateful. And everybody said, so be it. Amen. God bless you.